last night I hear my neighbors talking.
She don't love me.
Saying that out of my life to another's arms you'll soon be walking.
Somebody shake me, break me,
when it's over.
When it's over.
Somebody tell me that I'm dreaming and wake me when it's over.
All right. Welcome to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Wondering what your thoughts are on the earth-shattering decision that was made by, you know, the President Joe Biden on this past Sunday. And I can tell you that people are still having conversations about it. And so, interested in your thoughts. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go to Brendan from New Jersey. Good morning to you, Brendan. You say what? Brendan.
What a great time to be alive. Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
Yes,
what
sir.
A great time to be alive. And, you know, for the other side who throws the word patriot like it's the word love at a drunken orgy, no, this is a true patriot. Joe Biden did... and chose country over party, over self. And you can see how they're freaking out about it already, because we've started with the slander and the projection already on Fox News, and Steve Miller and Gorka are out there, you know.
Well, conservative talk everywhere, on the radio, everywhere.
Yeah, but it's not an objective view.
Right.
When you think about when LBJ gave up his presidency and went to an open convention, things didn't work out well. Certainly things were a little different. I think things are a lot different now. And I think that, you know, we stand behind our candidate, and it's time for now for us to get in line. And I think the best thing was done. And you know, now who's the old wrinkly guy in the race? Well, it's Trump. And I'll bet dimes to donuts that this guy will somehow back out of that debate in September. But he shouldn't, because it's just going to make the strong man look weak.
So Brendan, what's your thoughts about an open convention? You mentioned LBJ and what transpired in those years. What are your thoughts about an open convention?
I just think that an open convention can be dangerous just because history says so. But again, there's a lot more at stake. I mean, I don't think we can waste time in the convention. I think we need to move quickly and try to get the VP situation straightened out quickly. A good, strong VP to go with her. Solidify the party. She needs to communicate to the country that she's going to stay with the same cabinet, and that she's going to continue on the road that Joe and her set out upon 4 years ago. And I think she just needs to convey that message to make people feel comfortable that all of a sudden, you know, she's not going to start leaning far to the left, because Joe's never been a leaning, you know, left type of president. That's why he beat Trump, because he's more of a centrist. You know, he's also a corporate guy. So, you know, that would be my thought on it. It would have to be done quickly. It's got to be done quickly. We don't have a lot of time. And yeah, 109 days or however many days are left is a long time in a political fight. But, you know, I think it needs to be done quickly. And I think she needs to come and announce her VP right when she gets to the DNC and do it quickly.
Well, she will be back in Milwaukee, my hometown, on tomorrow. I'm sure I'll be there, and as I was the last time, and really looking forward to seeing her now from the perspective of a candidate for the president of the United States. Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Susan from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Susan. Your thoughts?
My thoughts? I think I loved Joe Biden, but he did the right thing. And it's time for him to turn the reins over to the younger people. I think Kamala Harris will do a wonderful job. She's articulate. She's smart. She knows what's going on. And I think she will choose the right VP for her. What we have to do as a community now is we have to back her 100%. And we have to let any bias that we might have against her for whatever, because, you know, people are going to come up with stupid stuff. They always do. We have to just push that away, and we have to concentrate on what is good for the country and good for the people of this country. And this is what we have to focus on. And by doing that, we will get there. And we will fight the good fight, and we will win. So, and say hello to her. I'm really proud of her. And you are just so lucky. I am so happy for you.
Well,
get me an autograph.
Thank you very much. It's not like, you know, I can call her up and any of those things, but you know, I am blessed to be able to be in the room. Let's go to Robert from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Robert. How you doing, sir?
Good. Good morning, Earl. I think if we're looking for expediency, the best thing they can do is they can announce Pete Buttigieg as the VP. If you've ever seen Pete on Fox News, I mean, he takes these guys to task. He tears them down. He pokes holes in their ridiculous, illogical arguments. And he's always on solid ground. And then if you think back to the last campaign, him and they stepped down and kind of coalesced around Biden to put him in office. So if anyone, you know, should be given the opportunity, I think it's him. Plus, he's already plugged into the administration, you know, being in the cabinet and everything. I think that would be a real smooth transition.
You know, Robert, what it does do is it opens the doors and shows the fact that President Biden has decided not to pursue reelection. It does now open the door for many young, electrifying people that the Democratic Party has that, you know, we basically didn't get a chance to even think about or look at because we knew who our nominee was. And I, you know, I mentioned this on yesterday and I'll say it again, Gretchen Whitmer. Can you imagine two strong women? And Pete Buttigieg is a smart, brilliant man, very well spoken, would do well as a vice president. Heck, the truth be told, would do great as a president. So the Democrats have all of these great young minds that somehow, you know, maybe they didn't get a chance, you know, to be seen. They will be now. All right, Robert, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Eric from Tulsa. Good morning to you, Eric. You say what, man?
Yeah, happy Motown Monday, Earl.
Yes, sir.
It's a brighter day, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
I would say it's funny, 24 hours ago, the Democratic Party was in disarray, but now the GOP seems to be wet in the bed, and for good reason. So, like you said earlier, so many aspects of this race just flipped in our favor, and they know it, especially considering beyond the age thing, the Democrats will hold the moral high ground on everything this election season, everything. And so they'll be able to hammer at all these things, and the age thing is just going to fall flat forever. Now they have the candidate that's too old to run. As far as choosing, I think it'll happen very quickly because they both have to figure out what's up in Ohio, so she gets on the ballot. I think she'll be the nominee no matter what. It's just Adam Schiff just added his name to the list of people supporting him, which I'm sure you heard on your own radio station. But yeah, I don't see any other way, and it's not a matter of coronation or anything like that. She's earned it, period. But the election technically begins in September with early voting, so it'll definitely be done quickly. I think the most important question she'll have to answer is, if elected president, what will she do with Israel? Because 2 months ago, Joe Biden was Genocide Joe, and that was going to come back once whatever happened. And she needs to clarify that for the voters, especially young people, to be honest with you, and people like me, because I'm with the young folks on that argument. I think you know, it's funny right now. I think your usual suspects that call in, Earl, I think they're all over on Righty Tighty Radio right now, catching up on the talking points. They're all over there listening to what they're supposed to say when they call you up now. And I would agree. I would pick Pete Buttigieg out of all the white guys they'll be considering, specifically because even Governor Whitmer and a lot of these other folks, they're just as qualified, whatever it may be, but they're all in important jobs right now. They're in governorships and Senate seats and stuff. You can pull Buttigieg out and find someone else for transportation. And I think he would crush Vance in any debates. And like I say, about just like VP Harris having Pete Buttigieg as a national candidate, I think it's kind of about time America finds out where our values and priorities lie. I'll be doing everything I can. Yeah.
So Eric, let me ask you, man. You know, like you said, 48 hours ago, the Democratic Party was, you know, kind of dragging and trying to figure out, you know, how's the Democratic Party going to be able to survive this? And Trump, you know, coming and taking all of the oxygen out of the room for the attempt on his life, and then the Republican, you know, convention. And for all the world, it just seemed like it's a foregone conclusion that the Republicans were going to win this. Now, you know, doors wide open, right?
Well, I'll say I didn't believe that because, again, I think what Democrats were doing, you know, and I felt this way, we need to get through this inner turmoil so we can get back to reminding people who the opponent is. And we were stuck. We were stuck in this loop of, like, what's he going to do? Now he's sick, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe, I mean, literally, you asked about where you were. I was in the grocery store yesterday, Pick and Save on Capitol, or now whatever it's called, Metro Market or whatever.
Right.
And I was talking to my mom on the phone. My mom specifically called me to tell me that President Biden had dropped out. I put my phone on mute and looked around and said, hey, has anybody heard? You know, Biden just dropped out. That was what I did. I literally announced it to the grocery store. And then I was at the counter, and I talked to a couple people saying, like, you know, well, VP Harris is the only choice for me. They've got to decide on this. We can't have 1968 in a broker convention. And I told a woman what we really need to do is focus on getting rid of that orange stain at the counter.
Hey, Eric, man, thank you very much for the call. Phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. It's a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Yeah, it's a new day. It really is. It's amazing how just those words from President Joe Biden that I'm not seeking re-election has reinvigorated people and, you know, really gave people who really were at a point of almost giving up hope that that now all of a sudden we don't have to settle. Many people who said they weren't going to vote because, you know, Joe Biden was too old. I know many young people who felt that way and for other reasons. This certainly turns those things around. And there's going to be a tight race anyway. Let's not kid ourselves. It's still going to be a tight race. This nation is divided down the middle. 46-46 Democrat, 46 Republican. And so, you know, it's a handful of people who this may not change, you know, their views or their thoughts, but clearly people saying that we didn't want two old guys running? How many times did you hear people say, we don't want these two old guys running? Well, now it's pretty clear. There's only one old guy who's running. And I'll tell you what, he certainly won't be able to denigrate, Vice President Harris publicly like he has denigrated President Biden. You know, going after a man is completely different than going after a woman in the public. I mean, we still haven't degenerated to the degree that people are going to, whether Republican or Democrat, tolerate some of the horrendous things that Donald Trump has said about women. Don't forget grabbing women by their privates. And, you know, and now he's got to face a woman, a very brilliant woman, and he's not going to know how to handle that, because what does he know other than to be critical of people? Let's go to Karina from Milwaukee. Good morning to you, Karina. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I think Mr. Biden did very smart, wise, strategically beneficiary for a party and for people, because he jumped 30, 40 years ahead of himself. He brought in a young generation to the post. I'm sure they're going to come up with some sort of things against any candidate. But I think in this time, Democratic Party needs to be more aggressive and straightforward, showing right there, right now, when the Trump is lying, making up the facts, turning around the table, switching topics. She will be able to keep him on his toes until he's going to have a freaking aneurysm on the stage.
Well, you know, Karina, I don't see Donald Trump wanting to debate if Kamala Harris becomes, you know, the nominee. There's no way he wants to debate her, because he's not, you know, I mean, he's not equipped to debate her without calling her a bunch of names. You know, he certainly doesn't have the capacity to honestly have a debate, a real debate with anybody. A two-year-old could do a better job in debating than Donald Trump. So now he's going to be forced to have, well, we saw it, right? We kind of saw snippets of it. Remember when he debated Hillary Clinton? And you remember how condescending he was? How he would actually move close towards her to attempt to intimidate her? How many of you remember that? I do. And Hillary Clinton would push back and fight back. And Donald Trump really didn't know how to handle that situation, and he was called out for it on numerous occasions. Now, he's the same guy. He's going to do that exact same thing. And I don't believe that the society is going to tolerate that the next time around. Let me also say to many of you that there are also people out here who kind of see this thing that it should be open, and that there should be Democrats and progressives, that this should be open. It is not too late to embrace a nominating process that would showcase the Democratic Party's deep bench of talent. Given time is of the essence, adopt a pragmatic way to select a small number of exceptional candidates, neither preordaining the outcome nor facing the challenge of winnowing down from a sprawling field. Candidates commit to strictly positive campaigns, advancing their visions and accomplishments, impress the nation by not just trotting out a tired, predictable process as we move towards the convention. rivet the nation's attention on dynamic town hall forums moderated by cultural icons, not the same old journalist structure a nominating process that elicits voter engagement and substantial discussion, perhaps even adopting innovative voting mechanisms. Some version of ranked choice voting with added weight given in play states. Build a convention defined by suspense, energy, and inspiration. Engage and motivate voters, including millions of disengaged and disaffected people. Now, my co-host on Tuesdays and Fridays, Sandy Williams, who will be here on tomorrow, talked about this. We talked about this, the possibility and the prospects of this happening in last Tuesday's show and last Friday's show. And Sandy clearly stated that if by chance Biden stepped down over the weekend, that the Democrats would suck up all the oxygen in the room and that Donald Trump and the Republicans would have a hard time getting back, you know, that media attention that they've had over the last week based on, again, Donald Trump's attempted assassination and Donald Trump's and the Republican convention. Well, guess what? It's happened. And yes, Sandy was 100% correct. And I'm going to talk with him on tomorrow about the same thing. The oxygen has been sucked out of the room for Republicans and conservatives. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuning into the Earl Ingram Show. All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Yes, if you are just, you know, you've been Rip Van Winkle for a weekend and you are just getting up and wiping, you know, the matter out of your eyes, and you finally realize that President Joe Biden is not going to run for reelection, and it thrust Vice President Kamala Harris into the spotlight. And I will tell you this, I don't know, maybe a month and a half or so ago, and, you know, a little bit over a month ago, I had the pleasure of receiving an invitation to hear Vice President Kamala Harris speak at a kind of a private event. And I personally did not know much at all about the vice president other than the things I had read. I mean, I knew, you know, that she certainly was well-educated in the positions that she held. But as far as who she really was, did not know much at all about that. And I remember being so impressed with her, the way she handled this this conversation that she was having in front of, you know, many of us who really didn't have an idea. At that time, she was supporting then nominee President Biden. And I think she did such a masterful job. She's very well spoken. you know, they've made and tried to make mockery of her for so long as being a bimbo. But she's far from that. She's a very, very accomplished woman who has a vision, who is strong. And, you know, 844-967-2789 is the number. I think that the presidential race has fundamentally changed. So let's just spend just a few seconds to ponder how and why the presidential race has changed. Not just the fact that President Biden decided to step aside, but let's say President Biden decided to step aside in anyone other than Vice President Kamala Harris wound up being the nominee. Let's say they didn't have to go through the convention and it, you know, it was brokered. And let's say Gavin Newsom became the nominee. And Gavin Newsom is a very bright man that if anybody would have placed a bet on who would probably be the person who would succeed Joe Biden, I think the majority of the people would say Gavin Newsom. There's no question that at a given point in time, Gavin Newsom is going to be the president of the United States. No question whatsoever. But in this instance, Kamala Harris is the right person. You know, and she's the right person for several reasons. And I'll get into all of those in a minute. Let's go to Tom from Richland County. Good morning to you, Tom. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. Yeah, I had problems early on with Kamala because of some of the statements she made about Medicare for All, and then she went back to make it a private thing. And a couple of her other things, she was down south of the border and said, just stay here, instead of saying we're going to solve the problems of people south of the border. But she is on fire right now, and there is no way that you're going to have, especially a white man, take the place of this black woman who's been in line with a whole lot of people behind her. And frankly, I think the black church ladies are going to win this country back for us. And I want to do everything I can to help. That constant history of always taking care of business in spite of all the problems, rise to the surface, give you the reins, I'm right with you.
You know, we heard so many negative things about her, right? Early on, she giggled a lot when she was on camera. You know, they basically kept her hidden. And so for a long time, we really didn't get to see who she was. As you stated, they sent her down to the border, the Democrats, to attempt to fix or to address an issue that was bigger than any individual, let alone the vice president. And so we didn't see her in a positive light. When I got a chance to see her and hear her, I was so impressed with her. And I'm not just saying that because she's a black woman. You know, you don't get to have risen to the levels in this society that Kamala Harris has risen to by osmosis and because she's just a black woman. There are many black women, you know, in the world. She's the one that was selected by the president of the United States, understanding full well that if anything would happen to him, that he felt comfortable enough that she would be the person that could step in and run things. I don't think anybody forced President Biden to accept her. He clearly saw some things in her and has endorsed her even now. And so I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised at who she is once she's seen in a positive light.
If you look at the North Carolina rally she was at the Saturday, I believe, she was on fire. And that giggle thing, when you say, I'm going after Donald Trump, I'm going to put him in jail and then giggle, it's powerful.
I know. Well, that's it's kind of, you know, who she is and her personality. And so to say that everybody who's the president of the United States has to be stoic, it's not the way it is. I think when you look at, guys, and they used to say they wear these stuffy suits and smoke cigars in smoke-filled rooms, that's who they would see as, the people who should be president. She is not that. And she's going to surprise a lot of people. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Cassandra. Good morning, Chief Cassandra. I would say that you're probably, what are your thoughts this morning?
You know, Earl, I'm a little ambivalent, and I'll tell you why. I would like to see the vice president or the presidential nominee, more accurately, platform. What is her plan to lead the country? That's something I have not heard before. She more or less supported Joe Biden's vision, but what is Kamala Harris' vision for the country? So all I can say right now is that I'm waiting to hear more. But one particular thing that concerns me, and she's going to have a really good answer, is what does she know about Joe Biden's medical condition? Everyone saw during that debate that he was having some cognitive issues. And these things just do not occur overnight. Of course she knew, and we need to know exactly what she knew and what was her role in terms of covering it up. That is going to be a very big issue that she will have to explain and overcome. But as I said before, I'm waiting to see what policy she puts forward.
So two things, Cassandra. Number one, she hasn't had an opportunity to talk about what she would do if she was president of the United States, because there was a president that was already there, and that president was running for re-election. So, we've got to give her an opportunity. It's only been a day. And she'll clearly be able to articulate that better than the guy on the other side who hasn't said anything that makes any sense whatsoever about what he do as president of the United States. See, the second thing I would say to you, Cassandra, is it doesn't matter to me whether, she knew that Joe Biden, may have had some maladies. What does that matter in the overall scheme of what's going on in this nation? Why is that an issue? When you look at her opponent, a man who has all of the things that Donald Trump has against him, and all of the things that we know openly about him, and yet the Republicans have still decided to make him their nominee, I don't think there's anything that can disqualify, Vice President Kamala Harris by knowing that maybe President Biden is infirmed. I don't see where that has any validity at all.
Oh, Earl, I am so disappointed in you. Of course it matters.
Why? Why?
As far as what she knows.
Why?
Because it's a matter of her credibility as a public official. We as voters need to know that we can trust what our president says to us. When she needs to make the call as commander-in-chief to put our sons and daughters and have them go to war or fight in a military conflict, we need to know that she is being honest, that she is a person of who is speaking in good faith.
So, Cassandra, I guess I would say to you that I'm flummoxed, because on the other side, We know a man who has no credibility at all with telling the truth about anything. And so to hold Kamala Harris to a standard that you won't hold a man who is clearly, you know, a criminal. You won't hold that man to a standard, but you're outraged, and you say that Kamala Harris would not be truthful, and that somehow matters. You know, people will probably say that's a double standard, Cassandra.
You're using a different measuring, a standard of measurement. If Kamala Harris was not truthful to the American people, the Democratic Party needs to pass her over and put someone who is not tainted by Biden.
So why don't you hold that same standard to Donald Trump?
I'm not voting for Donald Trump. I would like to vote for the Democratic Party. So what Trump does, I don't care about. The guy is scum, as far as I'm concerned. But I do want someone honorable who I vote for in that presidential seat.
So let me ask you, there are two people. There will be two people, Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. And even if Kamala Harris's policies, may make sense, and because you'll say she didn't tell the truth what she knew about Joe Biden, that would be reason enough for you to say no.
Right now, I can't say if I will or can't vote for her because I have not heard any policies from her. You know what, Earl? Gone are the days where we will allow political leaders.
Hey, Cassandra, I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Monday, Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the last few minutes of a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Let's go right back to the phone lines. And Lynn from Oconomowoc, good morning to you, Lynn. You say what?
Thank you for taking my call, Earl. I believe it's the party that sets the platform. Otherwise, I've been sitting in a lot of meetings with wasting my time. Also, the public knows that Trump is the 34 times convicted felon. The public knows that Trump has mental problems. He suggested nuking a hurricane. he also suggested drinking, I believe, bleach for COVID or shining lights. And you're telling me that man is mentally stable. Again, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you for listening. Really appreciate it, Lynn. Let's go to Tom from West Dallas. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I just want to reiterate what your last caller just said about the caller before that. She completely confused me. Kamala just now tells us that she's running, and this woman wants to know everything about everything. And again, talking about Trump and his cognitive, why aren't we more worried about that? I mean, the man talks about a fictional character named Hannibal Lecter constantly now. I'm just baffled by the whole thing. How can you not question this guy and be perfectly fine with his cognitive, I'm sure CJ would could tell us all that, but that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much for the call. Karina. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. Hi, Earl. I want to talk to Cassandra. Cassandra, stop following the narrative from Republican Party. But the President Biden removed himself from the running for a next term, not because of his mental incapacity. One. Two, he's maybe physically weaker. Three, yes, it is very much so possible after having a COVID and being 82 years old, your body taking a toll. He is physically protecting himself for his family and not putting stress over running for a president, but being able to finish his terms and make it through all his plans, okay? It has nothing to do with his mental capacity, never did. And Harrison did not cover anything what we as a public didn't know about. Thank you, Earl.
All right, thank you very much for the call, Karina. Go ahead. Let's bring Cassandra back quickly. Go ahead, Cassandra.
Earl, thank you so much for taking my call again. I just want to respond to the callers. Guys, Kamala Harris has to be vetted. One of the issues when she ran for the presidency in 2020, she dropped out because she was so unprepared. We cannot have her have a repeat of what she did before. And she has to answer questions.
Well, she will.
And it may not matter to you all about the truthfulness of the presidential candidate, but it matters to many other people. I'm a veteran. I have family members who are serving in the military. We want honorable leaders. Now, just because I am saying, questioning Kamala Harris's credibility, it doesn't mean that I am supporting Donald Trump. Okay, for the record, Donald Trump has serious, serious problems. But it doesn't mean that we have to ignore what's going on with
Hey, Cassandra, all I'm saying is we've got to give her a chance, right? It was just yesterday. So I'm sure all the things that you're asking, those things are going to happen, and that all that information will come out. Thank you very much for the call. Go ahead, Tom from L.A.
I'd just like to say that the people that are talking about all this, I hope we can focus on policy, and we can just stay on policy now rather than personality. You know, this is what's gotten us into this trouble in the first place. My vote right now, I think, for vice president might be Roy Cooper. That's 19 electoral college votes. He's a very popular governor in North Carolina. And we have to look at our Mark Kelly or Governor Shapiro. But I think Governor Shapiro is doing in his term already a year and a half.
Hey, Tom.
It's going to be termed out.
I wish I had more time. Thank you very much for the call. Brendan, you got the last of it. You say what?
Yeah, I just wanted to say to Cassandra. Cassandra, she did in her letter say that she was prepared to fight and win this this race and her nomination by the delegates.
Yes.
So give it some time. Give it some time. She's gonna do fine. I also thought I'd mention that Trump donated to her on three different occasions from 2011 to 2013. Kind of interesting.
Hey, Brendan, thank you very much for the call. So thank everybody who made the show go, as always. Thank you, Calvin. Really appreciate it. Certainly could not do this without all of you. Tomorrow I'll be joined by none other than Sandy Williams, and we'll have a robust discussion about where we are. And I'm interested in hearing his perspective, as always. Up next, Jane Madnair, Madnair on Air with Greg Bach. You've been tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.